got next? This is Free Association with Dave Zarum and J.D. Bunkus.
Welcome to Free Association. I'm Dave Zarum, Sportsnet's NBA editor, joined, as always, by SN Fan 590 producer, J.D. Bunkus.
I'm in a good mood today.
Yeah,
surprisingly.
You sound like it. Hey, good stuff.
Probably won't last very long.
I'm not optimistic, but hey, who knows? Listen, it's been a busy week in basketball. That means we got a busy show for you today. We're going to preview the conference finals, which get underway tonight.
Exciting.
We got some Raptors news to break down, as well as a special edition of James World with Mike James. I can't wait for this one. And in honor of tonight's draft lottery, we're going to play Let's Make a Steal. That's right. It's everybody's favorite draft lottery simulator game. That's coming up later on.
What a clever title. Only a genius must have come up with that idea.
Yeah, I take full credit. What can I say? Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
So before we get started here, I just want to remind everyone to go on iTunes, hit that subscribe button. That's what I was trying to say. It's really important you do that, and I'll explain why later. Just go ahead and hit that button and then get back to us. Okay.
Good, good.
Listen, I mentioned the Raptors news up off the top, and I want to get right to it. News broke last night, Monday night, that Dwayne Casey has, or the Raptors and Ujiri, rather, have axed Casey's assistants, Tom Stirner, we all know as TV Tom. We all love him. And also Bill Baino. So they're out of the fold. Bill Baino is another good guy. You know, my Baino memories are always just him in the dying moments of practice once most media file off and whatnot. It's pretty much a lock that he's going to pull a player aside and just start quoting Goodfellas. I've seen it like six times now. So, you know, always sad to see people go, but I think we knew that something was going to happen on the coaching front. When Casey was going to be brought back in the fold, it was pretty obvious that most, if not all, of his assistants would not be coming back. And we saw that happen last year when Johnny Davis was let go. Any surprises here from you, JD?
I mean, I initially kind of saw speculation that Mermis was a little bit more on the hot seat than okay. Stirner. But outside of that, no, not really. Like, you know, this was a long time coming. We knew assistants were going to get axed. If anything, I'm just surprised that these are the only two names. I thought maybe that they would be like almost a full house cleaning. But yeah.
Which still might be yet to come.
Yeah, sure. Maybe it happens. Ken Berger last night only ended up breaking the two. From what I know, Baino worked a lot with JV. So maybe they're looking for a new guy to come in, step in, and try to work on his development a little bit better.
And that certainly makes sense. So we've heard a lot of names in terms of assistant possibilities for the Raptors, including Monty Williams.
Yeah,
so
I feel like Monty is linked to every single available coaching gig right now. But I don't know. I think that personally, I'm curious to see what they do with these hires. But to me, it feels like they would like to bring in some former NBA players, some former veterans to provide a little bit of that leadership to provide.
Well, we've seen what Tyronn Lue has done.
Exactly.
Cleveland.
Well, I just think that the Raptors still are a young core. And if they're going to stick with these guys, it'd be nice to bring in some dudes who have been to the playoffs, who have been journeymen in the league, guys that command respect in the locker room. But to speculate like who it's going to be at this point, I think is kind of a fool's errand.
For now, let's just bid adieu to Baino and Tom Stirner.
Oh, I'm going to miss those halftime interviews.
Everyone can go on sportsnet.ca today and throughout the week. We'll keep it up there. We have the clip of when Tom Stirner was on our show on Free Association. And he explained the origins of TV Tom, and he laid out, it was the three keys to the perfect halftime interview.
Yeah, and hey, best of luck to these guys finding employment down the line.
Truly. Another bit of news that it broke this weekend. Reports came out this weekend on sportsnet.ca and elsewhere. Although the meeting happened a little while ago, Adam Silver meeting with an ownership group from Montreal to bring an NBA team to Montreal. Is this anything more than a pipe dream? I think certainly when you look at Canadian cities as candidates, Montreal would be right up there.
Well, they already have a facility in place, which is huge.
It helps.
It's not like the Expo situation where they need like an entire stadium.
Yeah.
You've been to Montreal, I assume, correct?
Yeah.
Come on, of course, right? It's excellent city. One of the best in all
Montreal.
Of Canada.
A lot of great memories in Montreal.
They want a basketball team? Good. That said, get in line, Montreal.
Oh, no.
Get in line. What about my Sonics? Can we just focus for a minute on the Sonics?
Here we go with JD and his Sonics.
That's who needs a team. I don't know. If it's part of expansion and they need two teams, then I hope Montreal gets it right away. Is that number two team. But you know me. I'm still, I want, I want the Sonics back, baby. Come on, just focus on that, Silver. Let's go.
But, you know, if the Seattle Sonics were still around, they'd be susceptible to playoff heartbreak. I don't think you're thinking this through, JD, because, for example, this weekend we saw the Los Angeles Clippers fall out in Game 7, blow that 3-1 lead. A fan base that, like the Raptors, a month ago now, went through that similar heartbreak, although the Clippers made a hell of a lot more of a go of it than Toronto did.
Yeah, the types of, I guess you're left with the same result, which is heartbreak and wondering about the future. I just think,
yes,
if you're a Clippers fan, probably a little bit more of a gut punch, right? Like you were up 3-1, you had a 99% win probability, and during the fourth quarter against Houston, oof.
Watching those games go down, you didn't get the feeling that Houston was playing out of their skull or that the Clippers were clearly the better team squandering an opportunity, but it's the fact that they were up 3-1.
Yeah.
They were so close. You know, I think Houston's a very good team.
They took game one without Chris Paul in the lineup.
Yeah.
It was like, so you're starting a team that has Austin Rivers. They took game one pretty handily. And you're thinking like, oh, this is going to be quick.
I think they were riding a lot of momentum off the heels of that Spurs series. I mean, they played two nights later?
Sure. Yeah, okay. You can make the momentum case. I think that they outplayed them. Blake Griffin was fantastic. You got to be disappointed in this Western Conference final, no? Like, is anybody that excited for this? I know it's the 1-2 and you think it's that, but I wanted the cool story, Glenn, the real animosity between the Clippers and the Warriors.
There's going to be a lot of Curry versus Harden talk.
Sure, but after that,
it's going to be kind of cool to see them go against each other. But I'm with you. I mean, Clippers-Warriors was the series that, and we spoke about on this show, that's the series that we all wanted to see in the Western Finals, just because, A, it's I think the styles line up better to make for a better watch.
Yeah.
And also because the Clippers, I think, matchup-wise, had a better shot of knocking off the Warriors.
Oh, I think there's no question.
Then the Rockets do. Like I don't mind watching the Rockets. And like I said, they have a lot of good players and they're a good team.
I do mind watching the Rockets, and I don't think they're one of the best three teams in the West.
Well, there you go. And also, I just don't think they have a chance to advance past Golden State. I think this might be a quick series, whereas I always want me some game sevens. That's where it's at. But back to the Clippers real quick. I mean,
yeah.
The obvious question now is where do they go from here? Because they have some big questions leading up to their future. One of them being, is Doc going to blow it up? I mean, he's said some pretty crazy things about the roster. I think we have a clip.
We were a quarter away from the Western Finals. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we need to blow this thing up.
Sure.
We don't need to do a lot. You know, we don't need to go out and get a max player, except for the one we have. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to add pieces, and it's going to be hard because we are restricted, you know, and again, I've been saying that for 2 years.
Well, there he goes. I guess he kind of answered that. But hey, if they don't want to go and get a max player, I'm going to read between the lines. That means DeAndre Jordan's not coming back because he's going to be asking for max money.
No, but he said, he's like, except for the one we have.
Yeah, but isn't...
I guess he meant like we need to bring in a max player as in we need to retain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Is Chris Paul not a max player?
No, but he and Blake both have massive contracts. But what he was saying in that presser was that they need to bring back the one guy they have, which is DeAndre.
Also, did you hear this rumor that apparently there's some rift between DeAndre Jordan and
Chris
Paul?
Yeah, I did actually. I wanted to bring it up. Who was it? Bill Ryder. He had it. He said that apparently that DeAndre and Chris Paul had a falling out this season over Paul's perception that Jordan didn't work hard enough on his free throw shooting. And we've heard a lot before that Chris Paul can grind on his teammates a little. He really cares about winning. He carries himself a bit like a coach. And I think for other players, that can rub them the wrong way. We heard that Blake had a little bit of issues with him in the past. But that said, I don't think that Chris Paul rubbing DeAndre the wrong way is going to be enough to really force him out.
No, even with this report. If that's the extent of it, then
the Clippers can offer him the most
money.
He's still in LA. Yeah. Still gets to play with Blake Griffin, who he's good buddies with. Play under Doc Rivers, who he's flourished under. I don't see a situation that makes more sense for him. Like, I read the top suitors for DeAndre Jordan, and I saw the Knicks name in there, and I was like, are you serious? Like, he's going to leave LA, and he's going to leave Doc and Chris and Blake to go out and play with Melo?
So, like, I mean,
come on.
Doc doesn't have a lot to work with. I mean, he's basically, the task at hand for him fixing that Clippers is giving them a bench and doing it without spending money.
Yeah. Bench comparison, last three games against the Rockets, 98-61.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. And it obviously, it matters.
Jamal Crawford didn't give them his usual scoring lift. I mean, that guy could not hit a three-pointer to save his life throughout the playoffs. He was sub 300 from deep. I think
he had a rough
250 around there. He was brutal. Like, when Austin Rivers is your best bench guy throughout a couple of games.
Hey, Austin Rivers stole game four.
He had some great games. I'm not trying to take away from his.
No, you can take away.
His sporadic
that was
good
one
play.
Game. It was one game.
He had a couple that he played well. But either way, they need a lot of work on the bench. They say they're gonna have to fill it with like min players. So the task is gonna be, can they convince some veterans to take pay cuts to go out there and play? They failed to go get Paul Pierce last year. That ended up coming back to haunt them. I just don't know. Do you really want to go play there with those guys? You're chasing a ring. Like that's the appeal at this point. Because they're not going to get any money.
I think we'll be talking about the Clippers a lot this summer, you know, as free agency and whatnot goes down. That's one of the teams that have a lot of work to do.
Do you think the Raptors should chase DeAndre? Do you think he's a good fit?
I mean, yeah, you go after better players. He'd be an upgrade at the position for sure. It's just a matter of if you want to spend that kind of money on a guy with such obvious holes in his game.
Yeah, I see. Well, the free throw shooting, we'll see what ends up happening with the hack of Jordan.
It's an obvious statement, but they could definitely use a DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, they could. I think that, you know, the Raps, like you talk about spending, allocating resources to the position. I think that they're going to grind it out with JV. They're going to see what the future holds for that guy.
Yeah,
wouldn't coexist.
We talked about Chuck last week. I'm not close to ready to move on from.
Can we talk about one of the other eliminated teams just quick, the Bulls?
Yeah, just quick. I'd rather talk about the series come up. But yeah, the Bulls, you know, they got eliminated by the Cavs. It wasn't really close. They couldn't stop Matthew Dellavedova, but who can? But they had some pretty glaring glaring issues in that Game 7 and through the whole series, really.
So it's just strange to me because you look at the Bulls on paper, they're so deep, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Hawks and the Cavs and just about like the depth versus the star power. And I looked at that series and I was like, oh, you know, I think the Bulls have a really good chance to knock them off, especially after we saw Game 1 and the Cavs were nicked up. But man, that Bulls team cannot shoot. Like, they need to find some shooting.
Well, that's the weakness. It's not even just shooting. Their offense in general.
Their offense is brutal. But this is via our man, Kurt Heelan.
Okay.
Big friend of Sportsnet 590, the Fan. He posted, the Bulls went 17 to 51. That's 33% from three when a defender was 6 feet or more away. So those are wide open knockdown threes. And they're shooting them at 33%. That's awful. Yeah. I don't know what happened. Mirotić was never the same after he got nicked up in that Bulls series. Brooks didn't really give them any offense. Heinrich, I mean, Butler was solid from mid-range again, but three-pointer wasn't really falling down. Noah is a disaster on offense at this point. Like, he was really
he's really degressed.
Man, he was the... I'm not really sure what the story is there. But third runner-up for MVP last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would have told me that, like, just anybody. Like, hey, that guy, that Noah dude, he was third runner-up for MVP. Like, even a casual fan, they'd be like, what? What does MVP stand for?
And you know, the Bulls have questions all over the place, not just on the floor. It's on their bench, too, and we're going to get to that a little bit later.
The scoring, though. You can't... 18 quarters in the playoffs with under 20 points. 18.
I mean, it's been their identity for a while, but we're starting to see that it's just not working at this point. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do going ahead. Let's talk to the actual games still being played. Tonight, the first conference final goes down, and that's the Rockets-Warriors. So why don't we get into that one real quick here? We've kind of talked about it. This is it seems like a fairly one sided matchup. The Dwight Howard factor, I think, is pretty interesting in terms of whether or not Bogut alone can contain him. Because, you know, if Dwight goes off on a few games, I think that's their secret to stealing a few against the Warriors.
Well, you look at their regular season matchups. And Dwight missed two of the games, and there's question of how healthy he was in a couple of those other games. So that has to be your only reasoning behind them stealing a game, because in the regular season, the Warriors swept the Rockets all four games, mm-hmm. double-digit wins. Mm-hmm. I think those double-digit wins were averaged over 15 a game. So this is pretty much the opposite of Cavs-Hawks in terms of like a clashing of offensive styles. That's the problem I have with Houston. That's why I think it's going to be a quick series, is that they both love the pace and space game. And like, they want to get out in transition, shoot threes. And the Rockets aren't going to beat the Warriors at their own game. And while they can both score, the Rockets defensively aren't even on the same planet as the Warriors.
No.
Like, they allowed over 17 points per game more to opponents this season. I just, again, Dwight not healthy through the entire thing, so that has improved. But I just, yeah, again, this is the Warriors game. They're the best team at this style. And I just don't see how any person could logically pick the Rockets to win this series.
But, you know, the thing is, maybe we're not watching for the Rockets and the Warriors. If nothing else, we can watch this to see Steph Curry continue to set records here.
Didn't you see them? I thought they kind of flipped the switch in game four against the Grizzlies. That was a must-win game. Totally. They came out. They murdered.
Watching the way they ended that series, I mean, the Warriors just seem destined for the finals now. I'd be shocked if that didn't happen.
That elimination game, that game six,
yeah.
Steph Curry, where every single time in the fourth quarter, the Grizzlies tried to make a little bit of a run. They tried to get back in it. It just was like Steph Curry, he was cold-blooded. It seemed like he hit a three. He just had triple after triple every time the Grizzlies tried to make any somewhat of a push. That's the thing, too, is how will this Rockets team defend them? This is where the Beverly injury comes into play big time.
I'm glad you brought up Beverly because they're actually talking about him trying to make a comeback in this conference.
Yeah, but
finals.
They said that he's basically, they're not expecting him to be back.
Yeah, they were exploring options. I mean, that would be a huge boost because he's a guy who you can kind of sick on Curry and at least try to limit. I mean, Curry in that stretch you're talking about, he became the youngest player ever to reach 100 playoff threes. Mm-hmm. And he did it.
Oh, Steph Curry breaking 3-point records? That's a real shocker.
Yeah, so I mean, but like we're just going to continue seeing this. I think we're finding out. We've already found out that you just can't stop him. I mean,
yeah,
you got to concentrate on Klay Thompson trying to limit Iguodala and those guys.
See, that's the other thing too. I think here's a bold prediction. I think Klay Thompson is going to break out against the Rockets. He had a bit of a tough series against the Grizz. Listen, Trevor Reese is fine perimeter defender, but he's no Tony Allen. He's not even a nicked up Tony Allen. And I think that Klay ends up having a big series against him. They basically got Corey Brewer, Pablo Prigioni, and Trevor Ariza to chase around those guards.
Yeah.
After that, there's not really a lot of above average defensive players. And Pablo's not like a great defensive player. He's just a crafty dude. He's got his ways of getting some steals. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they cover the Splash Brothers.
Well, I mean, and the whole thing with the Splash Brothers and the three ball, we're seeing how important it is right now. First, just real quick, crazy stat from the last series. Curry had 25 threes and the Grizzlies had 24. So, I mean, I don't think we're going to see that again because the Rockets are a better team, but that's absurd. The interesting thing is, you know, the three-point shooting is going to be foremost on everyone's mind for both series now because I think we're looking at the top four teams in terms of made threes this season.
So, Sign of the times, baby.
Yeah, the narrative that it's a 3-point reliant league is certainly proving to be true right now, at least.
Well, yeah, you just the myth of hey, that you can't win with a jump shooting team. Like a jump shooting team is going to win the NBA title this year,
especially when they have guys like Matthew Dellavedova, J.R. Smith, Shumpert nailing him down, James Jones catching fire.
Wait, so you're saying the Cavs are going to win the title? Is that
have a shot. Is that what you're alluding to? I'm trying to segue to Cleveland, Atlanta here.
Okay. We didn't even talk about Josh Smith. Whatever. Let's go.
Well, what do you want to say about Josh Smith?
He was unreal.
Yeah, it's. I don't know.
He's a covert agent.
I don't really believe what I'm seeing. Do you know what I mean?
I think
is the Josh Smith that we all thought he'd become when he was drafted like top five.
Yeah, hey, kudos to him for having a great series. But I think I texted you last night like, hey, the Rockets are now relying on Josh Smith, his 3-point shot to have any success against
seriously.
The Warriors. So that's about my that's how
that's
deep
another
my
check
belief
in
is.
The in the Warriors column.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So great series from Josh Smith, but will we see this sustained? Probably not. History suggests no.
We'll find out tonight. Game one goes down tonight. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, we'll get game one from Cleveland, Atlanta.
Can't wait.
This one is really interesting to me.
Clash of styles.
Not just the clash of styles, not just the number one and two teams from the conference, but two teams that I think they have a fairly, not equal chance to advance, but I don't think the Cavs are the favorites that we might think they are.
Look at Mr. Hating on Atlanta, calling them the weakest one seed ever, all of a sudden saying,
You can't find evidence.
I like me some Hawks all of a sudden.
I've been enlightened since. Everyone should be going to sportsnet.ca every day regardless. But right now you should go to sportsnet.ca because coming up later today on the site, possibly tomorrow morning, we're going to have a really interesting piece. A piece looking at LeBron James versus this Hawks team, specifically the LeBron James that we've seen in the playoffs. And what that means is a LeBron James who is passing up shots more than ever before and really embracing the kind of playmaker.
No, he's passing up those shots.
Why?
Because because he can't hit them.
Maybe so. But he's been carving up other teams.
Sure,
with his passing.
Sure, he's a great passer, and he's really great off the dribble, and he's powerful, and he gets the basket, and he forces collapses, and he finds open shooters. But he has not been the same shooter.
I'm gonna toss you a number here, and this comes from Kelly Scaletta, who's writing an interesting piece for us on Sportsnet.ca
Kelly.
About this. In the regular season, LeBron James averaged 25.3 points.
Okay.
He averaged 26.2 points against the Bulls in that last series, 26.5 overall in the playoffs. Points off of passing, that means points he's generated with his assists. In the regular season, 23.4. Against the Bulls, 25.7. Overall in the playoffs, 25.6. But now let's look at his performance against the Atlanta Hawks. Again, we can only base this off the regular season. But so in the regular season, when LeBron's scoring 23.7 points per game, when he's generating 23.4 points off of his assists, against the Hawks, he only generated 11.3 points off his assists, and it's by far the lowest total of any team.
Okay, but here's the thing. I think we should throw out the numbers against the Hawks from the season.
What that means, essentially, though, is that no team can limit LeBron's passing like Atlanta does. It's their defense, it's their personnel, it's their strategy. So if they're able to take the passing out of LeBron's equation, then they're forcing him to make those shots that you say he can't nail.
First of all, that's a lot of numbers. Second of all, interesting stuff. Look forward to the read. Third, the regular season numbers, as I was saying, between the Hawks and Cavs, I'm not so sure how much stock we should put into them.
Why is that?
The Thabo injury. That kind of hurts the Hawks. After Damari Carroll, it's going to be like, well, is it going to be Millsap, Bazemore? Like, who's going to be that guy that ends up covering him? Is it going to be just Carroll the entire time?
Yeah, Carroll's got a big series ahead of him.
The other one was the trades. Cleveland hadn't, when they played them, I think the first three of the four games, there was before the Maz and the Shump JR deals. So the major turning points in the Cavs season, they came after these two teams played. Also, LeBron missed one of those games.
Interesting.
So we're working off three games with LeBron against the Hawks.
I read it as this is some
two of which didn't have those guys.
This is some evidence that might make the series a little more enticing than I think a lot of people are making it.
Oh, listen,
right now.
I'm very excited for the series.
But I think a lot of people are writing off the Hawks.
Sure,
already.
But if you're a Hawks fan, you're used to this narrative at this point, are you not? Like, you've been getting written off all season.
But for
guys like Dave Zarum saying you're the worst number one seed in the history of the NBA,
they might still.
So
these are unrelated.
What I'm excited to see, like I said, is the clash of styles. Cavs ran more isolation plays than any team in the regular season. Hawks had the highest assist percentage in the NBA.
And the Hawks,
are they going to be able to get their offense going? Their offense has dipped off a little bit in the playoffs. Kyle Korver, 492 from three in the regular season, 350 in the playoffs.
JD, just for the record, that's 49.2%.
Sure.
When you say 492.
Sure, it is. That's the truth.
Okay.
I'm not the biggest math guy. That's why I'm in sports.
Neither am I. It's just, you know.
You can ask any one of my high school math teachers if I was the whiz.
Yeah, but you remember bed mass.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Everyone does remember bed mass.
Acronyms, baby. Yeah, you got to have acronyms. Jeff Teague's the other guy really key on here. LeBron said when they talked to him the other day at practice, you know, he mentioned it starts with Jeff Teague. He's the engine that drives the Hawks offense. He beats guys off the dribble. He forces those collapses. He gets his teammates open. He hasn't shot the ball particularly well so far in the playoffs. I think that he and Korver really need to step it up and start shooting better if they're going to get past this team.
And we know one guy who stepped up and will continue to step up is Tristan Thompson.
Man, Tristan Thompson is going to get paid. I mean, I don't want to say that you losing Kevin Love is a blessing in disguise, but they've really seen what this guy can be, I think, during these playoffs. And there was a lot of talk that he was going to get paid just because of his shared agency with LeBron James. And now I don't think that's the case. I think that there would be teams that would be lining up for a guy like Tristan Thompson.
He's showing that he might be the best rebounding power forward in basketball.
Offensively, yeah. I think he really still needs to work on the defensive end boxing out. He really does miss a lot of his box outs. You watch the game. But, I mean, he's got the floater actually is competent. It's not great, but it's competent. Best offensive rebounder in the game.
He's got a really funky offensive game, but he makes it work for him.
I don't know. I love Tristan. And consummate teammate. You saw LeBron James single him out, him and Dellavedova after the elimination, just talking about how these guys, it's you can live with their mistakes because they just work so freaking hard. I love what he's done for me. That it's going to be, the series is just so interesting for me on a ton of levels. I think that the Hawks present some mismatch problems with Millsap and Horford. They're going to pull Tristan and Mozgov away from the basket, which I don't know if we've seen them with a matchup quite like that this season or these playoffs. And then the one thing for me, too, with the other story is back to that Hawks offense. Can the Hawks get scoring? Because if they're not moving the ball, we've seen that they can stagnate and drop off. And the one thing I was thinking of last night is, couldn't they use Lou Williams?
Yep.
Like, wouldn't Lou Williams be the one thing that this team, like, could really use? Like, a guy who can create his own shot and score? Because that's the only times that I really think that this Hawks team looks vulnerable, which is when that offense stagnates and they just don't have anybody that can go beat someone off the dribble and get his own buckets.
And I think they're missing Steph Felosha a lot, too, in terms of a guy who can get hot and nail those
corner three shots.
You know,
corner three shooters.
Break a game open every once in a while. We're going to break this podcast open right now. And you want to know how we're going to do that, JD?
I mean, there's only one way to do it.
That's right. James World.
Mike takes your calls on this episode of James World.
Are you kidding me? Oh, we're going to hit it on the hit that I'm not going to sugarcoat anything.
Hey, Mike, I'm taking a job in Japan. It was a great employment opportunity I couldn't pass up, but I'm a little worried because I can't stand the food. You moved around a bunch. Any tips on how to acclimatize to a new environment, a new culture?
Just eat pasta, rice, and cookies. And you don't have to eat all the native food. But I'm pretty sure there's going to be little pieces of chicken and there may be little pieces of pork. Just limit yourself. You don't have to eat what the natives eat. But just, you know, there may be a fast food restaurant in that area. And if it's not a fast food or an American or a westernized restaurant in the area, just stick to some chicken, some pasta and rice and eat it every day until you go home. This would be a great time to go on a diet.
All right, that was cool. That was Mike James' advice column. You know, in the future, you'll be able to call in and ask Mike your questions. That time, we elicited questions from Twitter.
That's a legit question.
Yeah, I mean, and Mike gave a great answer. Now might be a great time to go on a diet. Anyways, that question came from Pete in Newmarket. So thanks, Pete.
Yeah, Pete's feeling a lot better after that. He's feeling reassured.
Listen.
Diet, Pete.
Apart from the Western Conference Finals getting started tonight, it's another big night for all the crappy teams in the NBA, and that's because tonight is the NBA's draft
lottery. Not all the crappy teams, but most
of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them squeaked into the playoffs, but tonight is the draft lottery. I love this event on the calendar. You know, fortunes of franchises will change tonight. There's a lot at stake for a lot of teams here.
I wish you read that in the NFL Films voice. Fortunes of teams will change tonight. You could do that. Yeah.
I don't know if I have the voice for that.
Yeah, maybe not. Let's be real.
I'm going to spare people and not test it out here. Okay, but there's, like I said, there's a lot at stake for a lot of teams. Minnesota Timberwolves have the best odds to land the top spot, followed closely by the New York Knicks.
25-19, that's kind of what it's at.
25-19 are the respective percentages. Who you got an eye on tonight, JD?
I mean, I think the Knicks have the most at stake.
Because if they don't get number one or number two, they're...
I just think that...
You think they need a franchise guy and that guy's at the top of this draft?
Okay, so it's been all drama for this Knicks team lately. And I just don't really see how they're an attractive destination for free agents right now. Like, oh, do you want to go play with ball-dominant Carmelo Anthony in an old-school offense?
They have the same thing same things they've always been able to offer, which is the market.
You know what, though? This reminds me of, we have this exact situation here in Toronto, which is people talk about the Leafs as though, oh, there's the allure of coming to Toronto so that you can win here and you'll be a god here. I don't really think that too many guys give a crap about that.
I don't think it's about that, though. I think you have agents in people's ears saying, you can go to New York, you can open yourself to sponsorship opportunities that you won't get anywhere else.
Okay, that's legit.
You can take your playing career and find a better way to make income on the side in a way that you just can't if you played in Milwaukee or one of these other cities.
Sure, I just still don't think,
the
Marc Gasol stuff and the DeAndre Jordan stuff right now, I think is absolute lunacy.
Gasol's a different
character.
I think he's got his bank. B, he seems like a really low-key kind of loyal guy. I think that's unrealistic. LaMarcus Aldridge is slightly more realistic, I think.
Okay. I still don't see LMA going there.
I don't see it, but I see him contemplating.
There's an opportunity to stay in Portland or to go to San Antonio. I think that it's a no-brainer for where he would decide to be.
Yeah, the Knicks are in trouble because there are other much more attractive destinations from a basketball standpoint this summer with the money to spend.
I just think that they need to hit. They need to hit one here. They need a break. Like, I hate to bring this back to the Leafs, but this is exactly how I felt with the Leafs needing McDavid. It was just like, man, the Leafs need a break. The Knicks need a break. This is what it is.
But so you think Okafor is the McDavid of this draft? You
think? I mean, I don't think that this draft has a McDavid.
That's the thing. I don't think there's that guy.
No, there's no. The only guy you could really compare, we talked about this last week in terms of guys, but I think McDavid is a generational player. Not to make this a hockey podcast, which is quickly becoming, but that's LeBron James-esque. Like, that's
so who's
the
Dylan Strome of this draft?
Yeah. who's the Mitch Marner of this draft?
Oh, God.
No, but I just think, they need a break. They need to hit. They need to get the guy that they want to get. And if they end up sliding out of those top couple of picks, it's just like, it wears on you. I think that they have the most at stake. Like, look at the Lakers, for example. Like, the Lakers are still in Los Angeles, correct?
Last time I checked.
They didn't move back. They're not back in Minneapolis.
Do you have a rumor to drop right now?
No. James Goldstein would be devastated if this is the case.
Poor Jimmy.
We don't want to send Jimmy to more games in Minnesota. But I just think that the Lakers will always have their ability to attract free agents. They've had a tough go lately, but I think they have the better infrastructure in place, even though it's the wrong bus running the team right now. I just think Knicks need to hit, and they need one of those top two picks.
Another team with a ton at stake tonight is the Philadelphia 76ers. If things go right, they can end up with
the first team ever.
Three picks in the top 11.
Yeah.
The Lakers
pick, they don't deserve. So no, let's not let that happen.
The Lakers pick is theirs if it drops out of the top five, and that's from the three team trade.
I'm okay with.
Michael Carter Williams to the Bucks and Brandon Knight to the Suns, and the Lakers pick to Philadelphia. Also, the Miami Heat, if they drop out of the top 10, that pick goes to the Sixers as well. Plus, they have their own pick, which is right now the third best odds for number one. So, they're just trying to accumulate as many young players as possible, and that's going to, their effort will be helped tonight. But listen, enough speculation, JD. I've been looking forward to this for a while, because now we're going to play everybody's favorite draft lottery simulator game. It's Let's Make a Steal. Okay, now the way this works is, before the show, JD, myself, and Emil Delich, our technical producer behind the glass, we each picked a team from tonight's lottery that we're going to represent. Now, the way this is going to work is we're gonna hit the lottery simulator, we're going to see the results, and then as the representatives from our team, we're going to make our draft selection based on where the ping pong balls land. Now, I mentioned the secret envelopes that we had our picks sealed in before the show. It is now time to reveal the contents of said envelopes. First up, Emil Delich. Let me open your envelope here.
Sounds more like you're crushing that envelope, but
and
sure.
With his pick, Emil Delich will be representing the Utah Jazz.
Ooh. Solid pick.
Utah Jazz. Okay, next up, JD Bunkus. I'm going to open your envelope.
Once again, sounds a lot like crushing.
JD Bunkus selects the Orlando Magic.
Oh, oh, oh!
Tiger Woods is so fired up right now.
JD, you want to open my envelope? It's no fun if I do it.
Yeah, sure. Like a proper person opens an envelope. Boom. That's how you do it.
That was a lot cleaner.
Dave Zarum will be representing the Minnesota Timberwolves.
That's right. Nothing wrong with number one. I'm going to get you some stars, Andrew. I'm going to get you some stars to play beside. We all have our teams. Emil, you're the Utah Jazz. Is that right, Emil?
That is correct.
Now, Emil, for the people listening, you can't see this, but Emil, you're wearing a Utah Jazz hat as we speak. So there's a little, I'm a little fishy about what's going on here. The secret envelope, maybe not so secret.
I didn't even notice that till now. So thank you for pointing that out.
You didn't notice you were wearing a Utah Jazz hat.
Great job setting that up, guys. Well done. And I've also seen a Utah Jazz game this year, so I know this team very well.
Okay, good. A well-informed opinion. And JD, just to rehash this, you have the Orlando Magic.
I do have the Orlando Magic. Me and Tiger sitting courtside, hanging.
All right, and I have the Timberwolves.
Doing other things, too.
Now, before we actually hit the simulator, spin the wheel, so to speak, let's put the teams on the board.
Are we in space?
Okay,
space
perfect.
Jeopardy?
This is Jeopardy in space. JD, you got the simulator ready in front of you?
I do.
Let's go ahead and spin that wheel.
Longest wheel ever.
There it is. Okay, so now,
ooh.
I don't have the simulator in front of me. JD, I'm going to have you read the
spicy
results.
Spicy. You want me to read them 14 to the bottom, or do you want me just to go with where we have it?
I just want to know where our teams landed.
Okay,
so
sure thing.
Whoever's team landed highest, let's start with that. No, opposite.
Yeah.
Let's start with whoever's team landed the lowest.
With the lowest pick in the draft, unsurprisingly, the curse machine, Emil Delich, and his Utah Jazz, selecting with the 12th pick.
12th pick. Interesting. So, Emil, with that 12th pick, what are the Utah Jazz going to do?
Always the underdogs. I like this. I like being in this position. I like Exum in the back. I'm a big fan of that. And I like the Frenchman, Gobert. I think he's also good up top. But what I'd like to do is I like to solidify a big man up top. I think getting rid of Cantor was tough on the team, but obviously he didn't work there. I like to get a big man up top that can play that that five role really well.
Emil, looking for big man depth from the Utah Jazz. And you know what? Drafting at 12, I think you can get what you're looking for at that spot. We're going to see a lot of wings go earlier. There's a couple of big men on the board who will be taken by
Frank
then, for
the Tank
sure.
Might be there.
But yeah, Frank the Tank. Oh, they'd love him in Utah.
Oh, wow, would he ever be loved.
Okay, JD, who's next? Who's next lowest?
The next lowest.
Keep in mind, but Jazz, Magic, Timberwolves are the teams that we selected.
I mean, we should have saved them for last because they're the best for last. But the Orlando Magic will be selecting in the five hole.
Interesting.
Which we're very comfortable with as the Orlando Magic.
Is that not where they were projected before the lottery?
That is where they were projected before
okay,
the lottery.
Okay, so it goes chalk for the Magic.
Magic feeling good. Magic looking good, feeling good. Tiger Woods sitting here thinking, okay, what are we doing with this pick? Well, we have the luxury of doing the best player available. We have young Victor Oladipo at the shooting guard. We like him. We have Elfrid Payton, I think third runner-up for Rookie of the Year this year. Good pick by us again. Nikola Vucevic, looking good. Aaron Gordon, still to see how much we're going to get of him. Tobias Harris, we'll try to get a deal done with Tobias Harris.
A lot of talent.
So we got a lot of young dudes. We can really go wherever we want. So let's take a look at the board here. What we'd like, our ideal system, we'd love Kristaps Porzingis, the Latvian sensation. Of course. Of course we would want him.
So there it is. That's the pick.
No, unfortunately, he was taken ahead of us. He was taken too early. A lot of buzz around this guy. Can play both the four and the five. He's very hyped. Kristaps, unfortunately, got taken two picks ahead of us. He went to La La Land, to the Lakers. Who do we like, the Magic? We're like Willie Cauley-Stein. That's
good pick. Good pick.
We value the word of Larry Bird. Okay?
That's right.
And
what did Larry say
Bird,
about him?
Larry Bird thinks that this guy is going to be a generational player. He thinks he's going to be the real deal, and so do I. I modern NBA, I want a guy that can cover a ton of positions, a guy that is going to be versatile, that's got some upside, that's going to develop a little bit on the offensive end. We are going to take Willie, what's his new name?
Trill. Willie.
We're taking Trill. Come on down, Trill. You're Magic now.
Willie Trill Cauley, I think is what it is.
All right, let's move on to number one.
So wait, hold on. You think that Latvian sensation is going to be drafted in the top four spots, therefore not available to the Magic at number five? I'm suspect, but okay, let's move on. Let's move on.
Let the silence be mine. We will not go against Latvia.
Producers are saying we need to get to a break. So the last team was the Minnesota Timberwolves, heading to the lottery, best odds. That's why I picked them. How did the simulator show?
You won! You won the draft!
I knew it! Yes! Okay.
Congratulations to the Minnesota Timberwolves organization, who ended the reign of... Thank God the Cavs don't have any lottery balls.
They would have won. So with the first overall pick, I think it's going to come down to the two big men, Karl Towns and Jahlil Okafor. When it's all said and done, I think the Timberwolves should go with Towns. Towns being the more versatile option. I like the way he covers space. I like what he can offer defensively that Okafor probably can't. I like it as a replacement for Nick Pekovic, who needs to go in Minnesota. We need to put some young developing stars around our young developing star, Andrew Wiggins, in order to make this ship stay afloat.
It absolutely killed you to pass on Dr. Congo, didn't it?
I love Dr. Congo. Emmanuel
Everybody Lugier. Loves Dr. Congo.
I mean, like, if the Timberwolves had dropped to number two or number three, Moutier would have been the pick, and I would be looking to move Rubio to make room for Dr. Congo.
Con Jr. over here.
Yeah, I'm really high on him. I spoke to Larry Brown last year when Larry Brown thought that St. Mary's was going to be getting Moutier before Moutier decided to go play overseas instead of going to college, and he was extremely high on this guy, and I like Larry Brown as an evaluator of talent. But you know what?
I just like the nickname Dr. Congo.
Yeah, Timberwolves finished first. We're going with the big man, Karl Towns. Tonight is the actual lottery. We'll see how it actually goes down. Surprisingly, you know, when we played it, everything went pretty much chalk from what I can tell. So
yeah, it did. Kind of an exciting one. It could have been a little
bit fun. There was plenty of excitement, JD.
You're right. The Magic were pretty stoked. Stoked about Trill.
Hopefully tonight.
Trill and Tiger? Ooh, look out.
Good times in Orlando next season. We're gonna take a quick time out here. Coming up, we still got to play some catch and shoot, and I think that's it. All right, This is Free Association.
On the lineup, we have anything else, question mark? No, the answer is no, just catch and shoot.
Okay, this is Free Association. I'm Dave Zarum. He's J.D. Bunkus. Talk to you in a bit.
A city full of people, and my favorite is that waitress. She treats me like some type of common vagrant. I see her every day, but there's nothing to say unless I decide to step inside of that cafe. I only get to sit if I buy something to eat. Otherwise, it's best to keep my feet moving down that street. And goddamn,
all right, this is Free Association. I'm Dave Zarum. He's J.D. Bunkus. Remember to hit that subscribe button on iTunes. You can also check us out on sportsnet.ca every Tuesday. While you're there, peruse the basketball page on that site because you'll find a lot of good stuff.
Peruse
away.
Good word.
You have my permission. All right, so let's get right to it. A lot to get to in this week's edition of Catch and Shoot.
Don't hesitate. Just catch and shoot.
So Tom Thibodeau looks to be done in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, until they tell me I'm not, I expect to be here. So that's the way I'm approaching it.
Where will he land?
I think that he ends up in New Orleans. It's about who's going to give him compensation, but New Orleans seems to be the most attractive destination. You got Anthony Davis there. You got a chance to coach a generational player. That's what makes the most sense, no?
Yeah, it's going to be hard for him to pass that up, and there's already rumors that there's mutual interest. If you had to pick one other team, who would it be?
Orlando.
Interesting. I like that. Okay, what's next?
Marc Gasol is set to become a free agent after another playoff loss for the longstanding Grizzlies core.
I don't know. Never been through it like that. You just take it one day at a time, try to understand what the plan is for the next 4 or 5 years of my life, and we'll go from there.
Where will he play next season?
Memphis. This guy is a loyal guy. He grew up in Memphis. They're going to be able to offer him money. I don't see why he walks from that situation.
I'm going with a hot take. I'm saying he's going to roll. He's going to go to the Spurs. No. It just, like, the Spurs, how I have faith in them. I think they lure him away. They've had, what, 5, 6 years together there in Memphis? They haven't gotten to the Western Conference Finals. It's time.
It would certainly be hard to turn down that kind of an offer from a team like the Spurs. What's up next?
Paul Pierce says he might not pick up a basketball again.
You know, I don't even know if I'm even playing basketball anymore. You know, these seasons get harder and harder the older you get. You know, it's tough rolling out of that bed every year, every day. You know, summers get even harder. When you start getting back in shape. You know, I'm 37 years old. I mean, so I'm top two or three oldest in the league, you know, so it's a lot of things I talk to my family about and just figure out from there. But I love my time here in Washington, and, you know, it's a lot to think about right now.
Could he seriously walk away from the game?
I don't think so. He's got too much left in the tank. Like, look how good he was in the postseason. Are you really going to tell me that this competitor, this dude, that this got this much juice, that still loves to troll fans the way that he did, is going to hang him up before he absolutely has to? I don't buy it. Even though, that said, he looked heartbroken in that postseason.
I mean, and there's something to be said about recognizing your ability and leaving while you still have something left in the tank.
Yep.
It's kind of preserving your legacy, for lack of a better way to put it. But I'm with you. I can't see him actually walking away. He's still too good, too
Come
dangerous.
Come to Toronto, Paul Pierce. Please.
There you go. Okay, before we go, I just want to let everyone know, hit up sportsnet.ca this week. There's a lot of cool stuff you can find, including Michael Grange writing an interesting piece on Tristan Thompson. We talked about him earlier. He's going to make a lot of money this summer. We got the Roster RX, getting your prescription to fix the Raptors' needs this offseason. We're going to look at specifically free agent needs this week. Also, after the draft lottery tonight, hit up sportsnet.ca, and we'll have our updated mock draft ready as soon as that lottery is over.
Ooh, spicy.
Very spicy. So make sure you do that. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on iTunes. Again, I'm Dave Zarum. He's JD Bunkus. Always appreciate you listening.
Still in a good mood.
And we'll see you next Tuesday.
Sorry, son.